Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Advise Show Radio, the station that brings you intense discussions about the hottest topics. Make sure you join us by calling in at 347-996-3350. Now, here are your hosts, Gabriella and The Advise Show.
What's going on, everyone? Tonight's topic, the cooning epidemic. Now, let me how you just got started. This very short notice show, very short notice, I know. I usually do it on Monday nights, but your brother will be busy all next week taking care of business, working, whatever, so I ain't got time. So we're going to go ahead and get this show done tonight, and that way we won't miss out on a show. Now, Ms. Gabriella was actually able to come in on short notice as well. What's going on, Ms. Gabriella?
Oh, migraine, but that's okay. You know.
All right, Ms. Gabriella here with a migraine, but she's here. So y'all need to send Ms. Gabriella some Motrin or something. I mean, you got a donation email. They can send you some Motrin.
That would actually be pretty nice, but.
Well, yeah, you need to get you a donate something. Somebody may donate to the cause or something you got going on. I don't know. But tonight we're going to talk about cooning. Now, somebody asked me on my Facebook, what is cooning? And my attitude was, I guess either they are out of touch black person or they just not black at all. Basically, what we would define cooning is this. The traditional term may be sellout. Someone maybe like a Steven from a Django Unchained, if any of you seen that movie, that was a pretty good movie. Type of person that really... You know, they kind of like anorexic. You know, anorexic, look in the mirror, they see like a fat person, but they're really like skin and bones. Well, a coon, he looks in the mirror or she looks in the mirror and see a white person, but they black as night. That is kind of how it goes for them. They don't see that they're black at all. You know, your Larry Elders of the world and so on and so on. Now, some of us, and I asked Ms. Gabriella to view this, the Russell Simmons Harriet Tubman sex tape. Now, Ms. Gabriella, when I saw that, I say, if this is not the most, this one person on Facebook taught me something new. They said that is neo coonery. That's a new word for me. I say I'm gonna have to borrow that neo coonery word. What was your initial opinion about that particular skit?
Actually, to be honest with you, I started laughing. And not because I thought it was funny, but I was like, I can't believe they actually sat there and did this. Like, what possessed them? Because, you know, like, if you've ever done any type of acting, you know that you have to do the same thing several times to get it right. So, Lord knows how many hours they sat down and wrote the script out. Then they sat there and acted it out, did all kinds of little nasty sex positions, and then sat there and disrespected the legacy of Harriet Tubman just for some laughs.
Exactly. Exactly. And the thing is this, they cast a chick, made her look like Mammy from The Color Purple. I'm sorry, Gone with the Wind. I don't want to think about Color Purple. Forgive me, Seeley. I'm talking about Gone with the Wind. Like, I mean, why they had her looking like that? Just overweight, dark skin, looking like Mammy. You there, Ms. Gabriella?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm just like, that didn't even look like Harry Flynn at all. If they're going to do that, at least they could have got an actress that kind of sort of looked like him. But.
No, they want to disrespect her. 678 Erico, you on the show?
Yeah. How you doing, The Advice Show?
What's going on, Chad?
Yes, sir, and you just talked about Larry Elder, so now I got to step in and, you know, say that he does say undesirable things, but he might make a few good points here and there. He's still a mama's boy, though, but I think that a worse threat to the black community is Russell Simmons than Larry Elder, you know.
And why do
you don't even really like him like that, but I got to say that. And Charles Barkley, I don't even like him anyway, so I'm not even going to try.
Let's back up. Why do you say that Russell Simmons is a worse threat to the black community than Larry Elder?
Russell Simmons is a worse threat because he desecrated a icon and a hero of the black community during the slavery period. Larry Elder may say things, and he defends them. I'm not going to defend him saying that, but he does talk about the issues and talk about that we're our own worst enemy. He does talk about that also. But I wouldn't necessarily say he's specifically, you know. Now, with the Zimmerman thing, I'll say, yes, he was Cooney with the Zimmerman thing. But social aspects and what's going on, and I don't like the fact that he's a mama's boy, but, you know. But, yeah, Russell Simmons did worse.
To me, this is my opinion. Yes, Russell Simmons has more money than Larry Elder. Yes, Russell Simmons can do a whole lot more than Larry Elder can.
And Charles Barkley.
Charles Barkley. But at the end of the day, their voices are still being heard, and their voices are being used to promote propaganda against, you know, the black community. And my issue is this. No matter if it's Russell Simmons or Larry Elder or even the little guy, if you're putting that stuff up online, you're putting all this stuff out against your own people that look exactly like you in the mirror, okay, you're sitting up here cooning, and that's the problem.
Right.
And I'll be honest with you. In this year and time, I've never seen so much cooning since I've been living. I've never seen it. I mean, it's like just a year of the coon for me. Why are you laughing, Ms. Gabriella?
He said, "You're the coon."
It is. It is a year of the coon.
You know,
like, you know, like Chinese,
just,
you know, the Chinese had a year of the rat. I ain't talking about a conservative.
The thing about it is Jesse Jackson defended Pamela Dean, so did Boyce Watkins, and Boyce Watkins said he was going to eat some of Pamela Dean's chicken, but no one's trying to talk about him or Jesse Jackson or Al Sharpton.
Well, let me tell you something about that. My issue about Al Sharpton, my issue about Jesse Jackson, let's keep it real with them two. The moment you can be bought, your message will be compromised. Because I knew when Al took that position at MSNBC, even though I like Al Sharpton, he says things, but the thing is, when you're on the payroll for MSNBC, they control your mouth. You can't really say what you want to say over there. Now, he would have done better just doing his own stuff, you know, his own production company or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, but Al gets Al getting old. Well, the thing is, Al's getting old, okay? Al can't be out here fighting like he used to. Al's been fighting a long time, so he's kind of it's a time for somebody else to talk now. Anyway, him and Jesse, they senior citizens. I mean, you can't expect them to do everything forever.
Well,
you know?
I don't consider themselves civil rights citizens. I mean, if you ever heard of the Black Boulet and they're part of it, you can look up on a lecture by Steve Coakley about it and how they sold out Martin Luther King. It's not just that. I'm just saying, you know, Michael Carroll talks about this all the time. I mean, yes, black citizens.
I know you're talking about David, Michael Carroll, whatever. But see, he has this attitude that, you know, let me tell you something. He can say some good things, but he has an attitude, and a lot of, you know, racists love his propaganda because he's talking down to black folks, like he's not part of black folks. And that's what I define as that cooning. Like, okay, you may not be on welfare. You may not be on food stamps. You may not be a thug. You know what I'm saying? You may not be a hood rat. You may got your act completely together, but you are not apart from your own people, no matter how good you get. Let me tell you something, like the situation with Oprah Winfrey that happened to her recently. You get what I'm saying? No matter how high you go, you can even be as high as the president of the United States. You can't get no higher than that. And you're still going to be labeled as a nigger. And until black folks realize that
you were going to talk about that. So you think she actually went through that then?
I think she did go
through it.
I don't believe that the incident with Oprah really happened.
Thank you.
I don't want to stray off the topic, so... That's just my opinion. I don't think it's true.
Okay, Ms. Gabriella, why do you think, because, I mean, it all plays hand in hand. Why you don't think it happened? I mean, because not everybody knows who Oprah Winfrey is. They got some people in the world who don't have television and don't know who she is from a drop in the hat. I mean, I could believe that. So let's say this woman didn't know who she was.
Okay, but that doesn't, I mean, but I really think that she was over-exaggerating. And then she went back and retracted her statement, too. So it's just like,
Well, see, Oprah, the thing is about Oprah, we all know Oprah on that fine line. You know what I'm saying? Like at times Oprah wants to say something, but she won't. So Oprah's on that line, like, dog, she straddles the fence a lot. And sometimes Oprah, you know, like, she knows she said didn't say anything about Trayvon Martin. She says nothing about major cases, even though she's like one of the most powerful black figures in America.
Mm-hmm.
Probably the most powerful black figure outside of Obama. And what Oprah say would go a whole, you know, longer way. But she don't say anything. Because she know what her brain is.
And she bashes black men.
Of course she does. She's done it in the past. Yes, she has done it in the past. But the thing is, it's too much of that cooning that go on in society. And this is the thing. Where have we gotten to as black people where we have lost our sense of just being proud of who we are as people? And then why do we feel that we have to sit up here and kiss butt to white society to hopefully just be in their good graces? I mean, why?
And I'll actually tell you about that, about two people I will never have respect for, and that's James David Manning and Cicely Peterson. They are cool. No argument with that. No argument with that. I'll tell you that.
If you've ever seen Pastor Manning's video, whatever his name is,
he'll
make a video talking about white people. I view him as like a preacher Uncle Ruckus, almost.
Yes.
He is Reverend Father Uncle Ruckus. Remember the episode? Reverend Father Uncle Ruckus?
Yeah, he was on my show, too, and we were talking some good stuff with Dawa, but he said something stupid saying that black people haven't contributed anything to society, and Dawa went off on his butt, so.
Wow.
You know.
Now, see, I can sit there. I couldn't sit there and talk to Pastor Manning like that, because Pastor Manning, you know, we can go Bible back and forth, and let's see if he could challenge me with that. You know, all that talk, he'd be talking about black people and black people this and they that and all this other stuff. I say, well, hold on. I thought Jesus said love your neighbor as yourself. So why are you talking about black people like that? That's what Jesus said. Don't you love yourself? You know? There's a lot of things you could tell him.
And he has a congregation. Like, it just baffles me, man.
Yeah, and they're quiet. They don't say nothing. Like, what kind of black congregation have you ever seen just be quiet like that? Most black congregations are loud and saying yeah and clapping. And, I mean, black congregations are really engaging. So, you know, they just his slaves. I don't know. But to get back on, you know, topic of this cooning, you know, also this is what I think is dangerous about this cooning, even on the level of YouTube as well. You have a lot of young and impressionable people, okay, that's coming up. And they look at some, you know, people that could be on YouTube or whatever, whoever this people may be, female, male, your Glozels or whoever you want to be. It could be male or female. And they say, wow, look into where they got. And they start looking at what they're doing and say, oh, you know what? I need to do this too. And that's how it gets them to start cooning. So that's why I'm saying this is, like, ridiculous how much they are cooning online. I mean, like, and the thing is about Glozel. That chick is old and doing some of the stupidest crap just for YouTube views. And then these people are just laughing at her. They're laughing at her, not with her. They're laughing at her, and she doesn't care. And, like, it's just shameful to see a black woman like that.
It's like I view her as, like, she's like a clown. She's not funny. It's like, she's like, okay, she goes for, like, the lowest form of humor, which is just making an ass out of yourself, basically. And I don't know how she's so popular, because she's not funny. She's not very witty. She doesn't do anything. Like, you know, none of her skits are just, like, really well written out, and it's just like, wow, you know, that was great. You look at it, and you're just like, what did I just watch?
I mean, the first time I seen, like, really watched her, I watched her do the cinnamon challenge. Now, all these people doing cinnamon challenge are teenagers, maybe people in their early 20s. you know, maybe some of the YouTube comedians, but, oh, Lord, when I seen her do that mess, I said, just come on, sister. I said, come on. You going to start cooning this much? And then the chick, you know, that other chick, Shauna Malcolm, the one who played the Harriet in that Harriet Tubman sex tape, she's another one. She been cooning. She be cooning with Shane Dawson. Play all kind of stereotypical stuff.
Wow.
Yeah, she does. That's why in my video on my Advice Show Throwbacks channel, I talked about the Russell Simmons thing. The other sister gave me the links to everybody's page. That's why I put the links, you know, in the page and say, y'all go see them, see what they talking about. And I was very surprised at D-Storm for doing that. I'm like, come on, bro. I mean, man,
yeah,
you
D-Storm
make...
had some good videos talking about pants on the ground and like, that's, but that's what I'm talking about. The people with the money and the, you know, the minstrel shows and things like that. And, you know, things you see on the BET Awards, man. That's a bad example, too.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, it's like this is my thing. You've already, okay, you get to a point, you've got a million subscribers in on YouTube. You can just about, I for sure live off of that stuff now. You ain't got to work. So, like, why are you going to sell yourself short when you're already popular? I mean, you. The thing is, I judge on kind of like what people say to me, you know, whatever I make off of YouTube. So if they are like quadruple over me 10 times, then I know that more people talk to them. More people email them, more people support them. YouTube pays them a whole lot more than they would ever give me. So what will be the reason to sell yourself out? I mean, why can't you just do your stuff on whatever you do your stuff on? I mean, you have a black director, and I posted in my video, he was saying, oh, I know I'm going to make black people mad with this one. Before when he had put it out, so he knew what it was going to do originally. And the thing is about Russell Simmons, well, if you sitting up there, allow it to go out and put it out, and you knew it was out, and the guy even tweeted it to you, then all of a sudden the next morning you decide to take the video down, like it's going to sit there and just, like, what, it's going to go away? Could you take it down?
Yeah, he was on the Young Turks talking about saying, you know, he didn't mean any harm, and, you know, everything was fun. I'm like, get the hell out of here, man.
Exactly. Give me a second, Chad.
Eric,
code 571, you're on the show.
Oh, hi.
Hi, who am I speaking to?
Iman girl, I guess, but people call me Marlene.
Oh, Marlene, okay.
How are you?
How you doing?
Yeah. Good. I just want to make a comment, especially like regarding Gozelle, because, and I was wondering sometimes, is it the lack of support that pushes like black people sometimes to just ridicule themselves and to just be a stereotype? Because Gozelle, for some reason, I went back to her older videos like 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And here's this beautiful black woman who's so freaking eloquent. Like, her voice is amazing. Like, she is so freaking intelligent. Nobody was watching her videos. And now you fast forward to the president. Like you said, I met her also. I found her channel through the Cinnamon Challenge. So I was like, okay, I guess this is funny. I don't know. So I kept watching because I was like, wow, how did she get 2 million subscribers? And being that she's black, I'm proud of her. So let me subscribe and keep on watching. But it's like every time I spell it, like you're saying, people are laughing at her and not with her.
Exactly.
Because there isn't a balance of, okay, sometimes I will be funny and do, like, funny challenges for you guys. And then also I will be, like, do something, like, intelligent and also show you the other part of Gozelle, which is this really beautiful, intelligent. And when you see her in her older videos, when she used to go to Jay Leno's show, she's very imposing. Like, she's not a punk. You know what I'm saying? Like, you would, if you met her, you would have to treat her some kind of way because she demands that kind of respect. But it was like, and I'm like, what is that what YouTube does to people, though, to get to that level? With Shayna Malcolm, I subbed to her because of her number count. I was really proud of her, and I think she's of Jamaican descent. I'm like, okay, more power to you. And, like, she did a video with this one girl. She's a white girl. During the election, that girl did all types of video, pretty much talking about Obama and comparing him to a monkey. Completely disrespectful. So they do a video together, and it's like this cotton ball challenge. And the white girl looks at her, and she's like, oh, aren't you black? So you should be better at this than me. And
wow, really?
Looks at her, I mean, you could tell. Just like when you look at the outtakes, like, of the Harriet Tubman foolery, okay, you know, in her body language, you can kind of She's like, there were some scenes where she's like, what am I doing here? And it was the same thing. When the girl looked at her, I was like, oh, you're black, right? So you should be better at this than me. Like, pretty much like, then your people pick cotton. You understand? And for me, it's like, being that she's Jamaican, she, like, Jamaica, like, I'm serious, guys. Like, picking, doing sugarcane plantation was, like, way worse. These Caribbeans, honey, these slave masters there were way worse than people here in America. Trust and believe that. So I'm like, I don't even understand, like, what is it, like, how much money are they giving you for you to always degrade yourself? Even when she says, oh, hi, my chicken McNicholas, it sounds like the N-word.
Wow. Marlene, she says she calls her subscribers chicken McNicholas.
Yeah, and the way she says it, I promise you, like, before, it sounds like the N-word. And before that, before she was saying, hey, subscribe, enter. But now since she has more people, she's changed it to chicken McNicholas. And when she says it, it sounds like the N-word. But before, though, the audacity, like towards the end of our video, she would say, hey, my subscribe.
Wow.
So basically at the end, so hold on. Well, because you cut something off. Hold on. I want to make sure I get it. At the end of the video, she would say, hey, subscribe, my niggas. That was
you. Yes. Saying? Like, if you go to maybe, like, you know how, go on her channel page, right? Go on her, because she started, like, 11 months ago is when she started. So go on her channel page, click on her videos, and then select from oldest to newest. And you'll see her oldest videos. It's not subscribe, mm-hmm. Chicken McNicholas. It's, hey, subscribe. Hey, subscribe.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm like, what the heck is this? Like, what is this? And then D-Storm, let's talk about him. See, this is why I get so disgusted, especially the Trayvon Martin case. Especially black celebrities. They're so quick to put out a tweet. They're so quick to put on a hoodie. They're so quick to put on a T-shirt. They're so quick to come on here and talk about the system is unfair and blah, 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 blah. But how can you make a video about Trayvon Martin? You know, one thing that really struck, like, that shook me with the juror, remember that one juror who went on Anderson Cooper? What she said to Anderson was, we didn't know much about him, okay? So when you really translate that, what she was saying is he's just another black kid.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
What do you need to know about him? Do you need to know that he was, like, he went to library? Do you need to know that he was an AP student? I mean, do you need to know that he was not a stereotypical black boy? I mean, what does it mean to say the boy is dead? How are you going to sit here and say, oh, well, we didn't know enough about him, but George, we know George, and George is a good boy. Remember, she was calling him George, like George the man.
Yeah, actually, she was calling him George.
Yeah,
yeah, George,
yeah,
Georgie, or whatever. Yeah,
she was talking about the boy like he was her freaking relative or a little nephew, you know. And then Trayvon, it was like, well, we didn't know enough about him. We didn't know, and I mean, all we knew was he was wearing a black hoodie. I mean, like, all we knew is that he was black. Trayvon was, it's okay because, you know, if George reacted this way because Trayvon behaved in a stereotypical manner, he was dressed in a stereotypical outfit for a black man. You understand? So it really kind of, it really gets to me when people take advantage of the rules of our community and come on, like, on camera or on Twitter or whatever and trying to get the sympathy, you know what I'm saying, just trying to milk everything they can, and they never give anything back to the community, and then they're going to go over here and then you're going to do something like that? That is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. That is ridiculous.
Well, Marlene, let me ask you some questions, Marlene. Just give me, just hold on. No, I know you're passionate, sister, but I want to ask you some questions.
I'm so freaking passionate.
Now, yeah, I know you are. I've been watching your timeline. Here's the thing. You in the hair and makeup community on YouTube, correct?
Yes.
Okay, and I checked your channel.
Kind of
obviously,
huh? It's
kind of
hard for me to say just the hair and makeup because
I'm going off of just what I saw last night. I watched one of your videos. You was talking about some, you know, black on black, you know, crime, hate or something. You know, I was kind of watching that, okay? I would say, well, who is this person? Because anytime somebody sends me a message or, you know, leaves a comment, I go see usually who they are. I say, oh, she's doing something on YouTube. Okay, and I see she got over 15,000 subscribers and all this other stuff. So, oh, she's doing good. That's why I really started to look at what you had. So this is my thing. You probably know this. You probably get a lot of messages every day from people or whatever. Have you felt the need to, or you don't feel the support from black folks, and you're starting to get a lot more support from white people? Possibly is that like that cooning wave starting to come at you? Maybe you should do this a little more and back off from more ethnic things.
You know, I think it's not even like, it's not even about YouTube, right? Even in real life sometimes. You know, like how sometimes you may feel like people are being racist towards you, right? But because you have white friends, sometimes you're probably afraid to talk about it because you don't want to make them feel uncomfortable. Does that make sense? Like, you have a situation, like, where you actually want to be like, well, this is how I feel. But, like, oh, if I start saying it, like, oh, my gosh, these black people, they always see racism. Like, at school, I've encountered that at school. And I've gotten to the point where I'm completely comfortable talking about who I am, where I come from, and things like that, and also letting somebody know when they're being racist. Because being a black woman and doing science, like, I'm a math major. I did my undergrad in math, and I'm doing my master's in statistics, you know. You encounter a lot of people who do not want you to be there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, am I going to go to my dean or to my chair and complain, or am I just going to shut up and put up? Marlene is going to go complain and let the person know that they're being racist. Just like on my channel, I am not afraid to talk about race issues. And I think sometimes we have to also give white people the benefit of the doubt that they also want to know. Because, like, sometimes you go on Shane Dawson or you go on Shana or, like, other people, Glozell, you'll see even white kids leaving comments saying, like, what are you doing? This is disrespectful. There are other people, like, there's another channel called The Young Turks, so I guess they're Turkish or something. They were really mortified by what Russell Simmons did. They were like, whoa. Just like I talked about this, you know, I don't know if you saw, like, last week, JT had a picture of Jesus, like, almost naked on a T-shirt. He was in the club drinking Hennessy, and I'm like, you know, you would never see Muslim people behave that way. Take the image of the Prophet Muhammad and put it on the freaking T-shirt and go to the club with it and start drinking and stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? But it's like, we're like, no. And I talked about it. People are like, oh, my gosh, Marlene, it's just art, whatever. I was like, no, we need to speak up because people are waiting for us to speak up. And you had also, like, people who were Jewish, people who were Muslim, people who were white saying, yeah, you know, I don't understand sometimes the way Christians behave or the way black people behave because you're not helping the cause here.
Ms. Gabriella, you want to add anything to that?
I mean, I totally agree
with that. Yeah, and that's why I tell people sometimes, you have to be careful because sometimes people think, oh, white people are just on the left. They want you to be a stereotype for you to fit in. That's not true because to me, when I read my history books and I read about the Freedom Riders, these were white kids from Harvard, from Yale, from, you know, Princeton. And if these kids did not believe in the capacity and the ability of black people, they wouldn't have came down the South here and, like, risked their lives for this stuff. You know, it's like sometimes you really just feel like some white people have more faith in the abilities of black people themselves. It is ridiculous.
Exactly.
And that's what's
just not. It's not. I mean, it's crazy because I do have white friends that see things like Glozell and some of the YouTube coons, and they'll be like, this is ridiculous. Like, I sent some videos to some of my friends who were Latino. I sent some to my friends who were Asian and white, and I sent them some of the YouTube coon videos, and they were outraged. They were like, what is this? This is disrespectful. I would never do something like this. And you know, they were like, they were embarrassed for me. They were like, how can you sit there and go for, like, we actually have a half black man in the White House. Why do we feel like we need to do things like this? This is not, like, we're acting like we're still in the step and fetch it days.
Mm-hmm.
Because we feel like we just have to just act like a clown to get put on, which is not true.
Yeah, exactly. Like, what still trips me out to this day.
So I think this is what happened.
No, go ahead.
But what happened with Glozell is that, and this happens to a lot of YouTubers, they feel like once they're like, man, I put all this effort into my videos, I have this positive message, but nobody's watching them. So they start compromising who they are to get more views. And every single, not all of them, but a lot of my favorite YouTubers, people that I have been watching for years, when I look at their old videos and I see them now, sometimes I can't even watch them anymore because they had completely sold out because they feel like they have to, you know, put on their soft shoes and start shucking and jiving for some views. And it's
You know, it's much deeper than views, though, Ms. Gabriella. I'm telling you, it's much deeper than that. And I'm going to tell you this from my experience. You know, when you, like, doing your videos or whatever, and about the black community, like, you get to a certain point and you start slowly rising up somewhere, all of a sudden you start getting the eyes of the black community, and you're going to have some people that's going to greatly support you, and then you got people that want to tear you up and tear you down. Now, a lot of these people, they don't do it for views. A lot of times it's a support. Sometimes white people will financially support them. Like, I've had a guy, like I said, this is a true story. I had a white guy from Canada told me that he liked my videos. He liked that I speak the truth about the world. And you know what? Here's a $50 donation. This is out of the blue. And I, you know, but I can't, but also I had one sister that did the same thing from the UK. So, but they have some black, white people that will sit there and fund you. And you know, that's what clicked in my head. I say, now I get why some people coon so much, because you, if I got a donation, I can imagine what the coons get. I'm talking about the top lieutenant coons. I can imagine what they're getting on the side, outside
yeah,
of YouTube.
Those who are like, you're calling cooning themselves, are not getting money from white people. They're getting money from other black people who are like Uncle Ruckus is like, you know, to grade themselves.
I seriously, I can tell you from, I'm just telling you the truth. Black folks ain't giving you no money like that. It's in what white people will pay out the nose if they like something you're doing. I'm saying white people have no problem opening that wallet. Black folks, we open our wallet to shoes, to hair, to clothes, to a car. But we won't open our wallet just to give it to another brother. Say, hey, you know, I like what that brother or sister doing. I'm going to support them. I'm going to join with them.
Yeah, but look at what Jay-Z said. Look at what Jay-Z said. That's a perfect, like, representation. He said, like, why should he give money? His presence is charity.
His presence is charity?
You missed that. That's what he said. Because Harry Belafonte called him out on, like,
oh,
never.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
And he was like, yeah, my presence is charity. I'm like, are you freaking serious right now? Are you freaking serious? And even before that, he was on The Breakfast Club talking about how people should not move into the Marcy Project because, like, what are you doing buying a condo there? They're shooting people, I told you. I'm like, are you serious now? Because you go to Monaco? Because you sit with, like, white people? And are you really, oh, my gosh, Jay-Z, you really have made it, Sean. Oh, my goodness. Are you serious? So you come on TV and you sell our kids these 99 problems and whatever is not one. You sell dough. I used to sell drugs, and that's how I got here. Like, your entire stuff is about drugs. My daddy wasn't there. And as soon as you make it, you, this is what you sell to your young people who don't have dads, who don't have this, who don't have that. But when you sit with these white people in your corporate meetings, you don't behave like that. You behave like Sean Carter.
Exactly. And that's what they all do.
That's what kills me. Like, just like I was listening to J. Cole, because to me, like, I'm from the Ivory Coast. I'm not even from America. I'm from the Ivory Coast. You understand? And to me, it kills me how somebody like J. Cole, who's African American, he went to college, you guys. He is magna cum laude. He graduated magna cum laude. He writes music that makes sense. His own people don't support him. Like, when J. Cole uses the N word, it's like it's out of character for him. But here's Drake, who comes from Canada, no offense, his mommy is white, so most likely he relates to his white side. He will sing a song and drop like like 15 or 20 times, and you'll see black people here will go buy his music. This is somebody who doesn't even know what it's like to, I mean, nothing, like, you understand, because it's like, if you're mixed, you're going to associate with yourself with the side that's raised you the most, you understand, especially if you have a parent who's missing. So, Why are you supporting Drake, who's not from here, knows nothing about your culture, knows nothing about what it's like to be black African-American dealing with this crap? Like, he can't say, oh, my grandparents walked with Martin Luther King or some stuff like that. He can't talk about that. He was in freaking Canada. There was never slavery in Canada, so he doesn't even know what it's like. Even if his dad was present, he wouldn't even know what it's like to be freaking oppressed, y'all. For real. But people will go out here and buy his music and not support J. Cole.
Mm-hmm.
Well, entertainers shouldn't be the one that we should be even trying to support anyway like that. That's a problem in the black community. We want to support entertainers and ball players the most and not celebrate the kids that's, you know, graduating college at an early age and kids who are getting their degrees, kids who are doing great things. We don't want to build them up. We want to build up kids who are just rapping and who getting money and all this other stuff. But this is the thing.
Little Jojo and Little Flip, Little Battalion, I don't know, whatever rap name they have, they would rather sit there and support Chief Keef and give their last dollar so they can get some front row tickets to a Chief Keef concert before they would open up their wallet and write a check to help send their little nephew or their niece or their cousin to school. And it's sad.
And that's real sad that they would do that. But the fact of the matter is, like I said, this, you know, this cooning and this, you know, tap dancing that's going on, it's just ridiculous. And I noticed after the Zimmerman verdict, it just got bad with that. I mean, it's like all the coons who were hidden, it was like they were revealed. The moment Zimmerman was, and they had to show allegiance to Master after that. They had to say where they stood on it. They had to say either they was, you know, for Trayvon or with Zimmerman. And a lot of them said, you know, Charles Barkley came out, and like you said, you had your people on YouTube saying they support Zimmerman, you know, your Paula Deen and your Riley Coopers and who else are people talking about supporting?
No, but it's crazy. I even you like know, the fact that people united to pay his bail money, and they united to pay for his legal fees. But we got this mom in Florida, nobody's raising money for her, and she goes to prison for 20 years for shooting a gun up in the air.
Yeah, you're talking about Marissa Alexander.
Yeah. Nobody's raising money for her.
Yeah. Yeah, I did a video about that. Right. Neither is the feminist with Gloria Allred. Mm-hmm. This is why, you know, the stories like that should show black women that the feminists are not on your side. Because when sisters tell me I'm a feminist, I shake my head because that movement is not for black women. That movement used black women to get what they wanted because they issues between their man, not between us. You know, that's the proof right there. Where's Gloria Allred and the feminists for that? Get her out of jail. You know, just her attention alone.
Where's Oprah for that? She's not going to talk about that, but Oprah
is going
to let her buy a purse.
Oprah would not say anything.
Why would you even want to buy a purse that's $40,000, Oprah? Like, go sit down somewhere. And I'm kind of glad that lady did that to her. It kind of humbled her spirit, didn't it? Just a little bit. Please, have a seat.
Well, you know, the thing is, like I was saying earlier, no matter how high you scale up, even if you're the president of the United States, they still going to look at you as a nigga. Sorry, that's just kind of how it is. And until black folks realize that, they'll be better off. Because you can't sit here and walk away from your people group and just think, oh, I'm going to be like a black white guy. And at the end of the day, they will tell you who you are at the end of the day.
You can sit there and cool all you want to.
Hold on, one at a time. What you saying, Ms. Gabriella?
I was basically agreeing with you because you can coon all you want to, but as soon as they get mad at you, they're going to start calling you all kinds of N-words and start, you know, really just, they'll actually sit there and tell you about themselves and say, I mean, we'll support you, but you ain't one of us.
Oh, yeah.
That's the
wake-up
call she got with her network.
Yeah, that's when she started going more back to black people. Because at first she wasn't trying to even say to black people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Tyler Perry, and then that other show, which I think is a good show, and I like the show. Welcome to Sweetie Pies. I like the show. It's pretty good. I actually started watching it. And, you know, you ever seen that one?
Yeah, I watch it. I like it.
Yeah, it's a good show. Good program, you know, showing a sister with a business and the family working in the business is positive. You know, I like stuff like that. Now, that's what I would like to see her do more of, more programs like that. You know, but at first she thought that she would just, you know, do what she wanted to do. And she was going to sing. And she went back to black folks, Wanda Sykes,
yeah.
Tyler Perry, all these other people she was leaning on. And this is why her network then got out the dumps. It's because she went to her people. Now watch, her network would do good. Let's see if she follows the same patterns and walk away from black folks once again when they don't, you know, she feels she don't need them no more.
Mm-hmm. Because Tyler Perry, he brings in that church audience.
Yeah.
He brings black church, and the black church is very faithful. Like, I mean, we're about to see Preachers of L.A. That show is going to be something before 3 seconds.
Oh, boy, that stuff that I can't wait for it to come on because I can't wait to do a video about it because I'm sorry, that is wrong.
Like, you see this? And when you have pastors and you on a network like Oxygen, like, that's the home of the Bad Girls Club. Are you serious right now?
That's
the network for the Bad Girls Club. Like, so it's not even a good network like Bravo where people are, like, really doing amazing things on there. It's, like, a trashy network. It's, like, either Bravo or VH1. Like, they're the most trashy networks. I mean, Oxygen is VH1, like, the most trashy network, right? And then you do the song. And then, like, when they're doing the intro, they got that Keisha song, Rah, Rah, We Know Keisha. Like, that's the intro song to it.
Oh, wow.
Like, I mean, that's so serious.
And this is why people don't want to go to church anymore, because shows like that.
But that's what I'm, like, black people really are under attack in this nation. I don't know if people are even paying attention. Because once you kill the black church, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? Like,
But you can't But you can't blame nobody for that but black folks, because when you want to start talking about black folks, some of these black preachers want to start they did a lot of cooning too. Now, not just entertainers. A lot of them, and they want to jump on this, oh, I want to be all prosperity gospel and all this other stuff. That's all it takes to make it. And they had, you know, I listened to the promo of preachers of L.A., and you're saying, you know, well, God wants us blessed and all this other stuff. And, like, listen, I have no issue with you having a Bentley or nothing like that. But the thing is, you got people in your church that you in the church business. You're not a businessman. And the people in your church is barely rubbing two nickels together, but they're giving you the 10%. But yet you on a Bentley, and you don't even work a job outside or even have, like, a business or something to say, you know what, well, I just don't make money from the church. I make money from this. So that's why, you know, I'm doing okay. But, I mean, I think that's kind of like, who's that Clarence McClendon, him? He's the one with a Bentley. I say, what, a Bentley? I'm like,
no, they have Bentleys. They have private jets. Like, they're living lavish. I mean, it is what it is. You know, you can't, like, I'm not so against that, because I'm saying if you have a really, really big church, it is what it is. But do you really have to come on TV? Because it's like YouTube sometimes. If the context of everything is lacking, people can actually miss, you know, I mean, people can really miss it, and then it can become something else. Like, what's the point of this show? You know, what's the,
well,
like,
you know,
think,
look, I'm
the guy on there with the he has a baby outside of wedlock, and I'm not going to sit there and say that's the worst thing ever. But if you're a pastor, I think that you should be holding yourself to a little bit of a higher standard. And it's like, it seems like they put all that mess on there just, I mean, they put that situation on there to create drama. So it's going to be like just another Love and Hip Hop type show, but with pastors.
Well, with preachers. Yeah, with preachers. Yeah. And that's sad, though. But, you know, like, you can't say, like, for instance, over here in Houston, you know, Joel Osteen, you know, Lakewood Church, you know, like, for instance, he doesn't even take money from the church. He don't get paid by the church. He makes his money off of his book. Because he even said it. He said, no, I've been told the church, you know, I don't need the money because, you know, I got my books with my book deal. And, you know, if you see him and his wife, you wouldn't think they even make that kind of money. Like, what, I don't know what they make, but you wouldn't think they would make, you know, good. But shoot, black folks, you know how we are. We barely get $2, and we're looking like we like a billionaire. So it's just, I don't know. I don't know. I have to watch the show. But just from what I saw about it, I didn't like that. I just kind of didn't like it. Not the fact that they have stuff.
Like, rah, rah, weed that Keisha.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, you see this? They're just like, it just shows you, like, these people have no respect for you at all.
Yeah, and then the thing is, most black folks, you know, like, black folks don't even say nothing anymore. Like, Vince, did you see that video that was on World Star? I'm going to do a video about that one. About the preacher singing about keep your business off of Facebook.
Oh, yeah, I heard about it. I didn't get a chance to look at it, but I
said, oh, my God. I said, they sitting up here singing about keep your business off of Facebook in church? Like, really? I said, nobody's saying nothing. Everybody liking this stuff? I'm like, what has happened to black folk? I wouldn't sit there and listen to him saying that. I'm going to church to learn about the law and not about him about keeping your business off Facebook. Like, preacher, what you doing on Facebook anyway, worrying about somebody? He talking about the pictures people posting and all that. I said, was you looking at the pictures? These half-naked chicks with their tattoos and everything else, or what?
No, it's just,
I mean,
really sad.
It is.
Really sad.
I'm not laughing,
but it's sad. When you're black, people excuse you for the, oh, you know, like if Paula Deen says something that's bad, everybody goes crazy and pull up her endorsement and whatever, whatever. But I'm like, but when you're black, though, oh, it's okay. Oh, it's comedy, or you're black. Okay, well, no, and it's like people need to talk. Like, you know, and that's why I was so surprised, because I remember when Paula Deen said what she said, everybody that's like, you know, like kind of like what you do, like black, kind of like urban, media, celebrity kind of talk, whatever, whatever. Like, everybody was talking. Everybody was making a video about Paula Deen. You understand? But
oh, yeah, I made about two of
them. Yeah, here is Russell Simmons, who's exploiting his people, who's, like, tarnishing somebody's legacy. Nobody's really talking about it.
I don't know. I talked about it.
Oh, and that's how I was like, wow. I'm like, I was really – even there's another lady also named Cheska. Cheska Lee, her name is Francesca, but her channel is Cheska Lee. She came on there and she talked about it and she spoke very, very well. She's also black and everything. And I was like, wow, because she also said the names and it is what it is. But I'm like, you see that? Because a lot of black people also, they want to get on that level, so they're afraid to say, oh, B Storm is in it. Let me say it. If we can talk about Paula Deen, we can also talk about other people who are not acting right, or Russell Simmons. Because when you really think about Russell Simmons, though, and Def Jam, what has he done for hip-hop if it's not to make it this, like, whole trashy, mass consumption, download me on off of iTunes, and let's use the N-word like crazy all the time, and let's call women a bunch of B-words and stuff. Now he has the Rush card. Uncle Rush, he's an entrepreneur. Like, what, this religious hybrid, this, like, what has he done for black people, really? What has he done?
You know, this is what they come up with. Oh, well, you know, hey, I donate to charity. Hey, I do this for people in Africa. Hey, what you said the other day. I did this, I do that. You know, he says what he does, but like actually helping black people, no, they don't do nothing.
He helps black people. Russell Simmons, he donates the stuff where like white people want to do, like, you know what I'm saying? Like the white project, that's where he'll donate so he can be like, I'm the black person who has the money too. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, the parks in New York is a kind of, it's like a way to compete, kind of. You know, like how they have these auctions or these, like, fundraiser galas. People just be, like, you know, competing to buy a Range Rover or a Porsche or, you know, these ridiculous things. That's what he does. He donates money where white people will be like, oh, he's a black man and he has money, too. He doesn't donate where nobody's going to know that it's him.
Well, this is the thing about Russell Simmons and
now he has a Rush card. What does Rush card do for black people?
Ain't nobody want no Rush card. Anyway,
exactly.
people like P. Diddy, people like, you know, like them, they just, like you say, they step and fetch, and they want to make sure they show their allegiance to, you know, their master, and they go on a coon. And there's too many black people seeing that is the way to come up. All I got to do is coon, and that's it, and I'll be okay. And just say, hey, I'm not like one of those. I'm not those Negroes. Those Negroes, that's them. You know, I'm nothing like those Negroes. And then that's when they tell them, yeah, you know, I really don't like black people too much. But, you know, you made me change my opinion. You know, you're okay. But the rest of them, I just don't like them. Like,
exactly.
What?
And
that's what they'll tell
them. That's why he always has the white parties in Monaco where all the rich white people are. He has the white parties in Martha Vineyards. Like, that's where all the rich white people hang out, you know. It's like that. But you don't see them coming to, their hood and do things for their careers. That way the money can be recycled there, right? Because you know how much money he spends on these parties?
Well, no. The thing is, the problem is also, you know, it's deeper than that. The problem is, you know, black folks don't keep their money in the black community because they want to impress. Like I say, once again, they want to impress white folks. This is the bottom line. That's what, like I say, all the cooning is started going on. Like, we the only community who do not build up our own. Everybody else does it. Whites, Hispanics, Asians, everybody does this stuff. And no other people group, like, coon on the level that we coon on. Now, I've seen Hispanics do some cooning for white folks, too. Now, don't get me wrong. I've seen them do it. And some Asians. But, man, black folks just do it, like, just to a number that... And that, my thing is, like, why? Why do you sell yourself short? Why do you embarrass yourself and embarrass your people? Like Martin Malcolm and Marcus and all those other guys didn't fight for you to sit up here and make yourself like Mammy on a video, or, you know, just acting like some sort of, you know, Uncle Ruckus. Like, why are you doing that? I mean, like this. They say you got two choices. You can have $10 million, but you got a coon, or you can have, you know, $100,000 and be yourself. I'll take the $100,000. I'm sorry. I don't need $10 million and I can't be myself. I got to turn into something that I'm not, and my people don't respect me. My kids don't respect me. Nobody respects me anymore because, hey, I'm cooned.
But that's why you understand, like, now after seeing the tape, the whatever it was, like, not, like, you really understand what, like, David Chappelle was saying when he walked away. Like, when white people are laughing a little too hard at your joke, like, okay, like, so now that we're not laughing together, they're actually laughing at me, and that's why he walked away. Like, no, this is too much. Like, you can't keep making fun of your people like that.
And the thing is about you talking about them, some of the racist ones, at least the racist white folks, they are obsessed on what we do, like, especially like whether you're doing YouTube, whether you're doing whatever, they're going to be there. And they had this one brother one time who made a video, he tripped me out of their response. He said, from now on, I don't want no white. He said white people. I don't want no white people on my channel. He's like, I don't even talk about white people's stuff. I talk about the black stuff. So if I find out you're white, I'm blocking you. Oh, they got mad. They called his phone, death threats and everything to the man because he said he just didn't want white people on his listening to his videos. Like, why would you even get mad at that? Like, this is my thing. You know, some of these racist white folks, of course, why would you go listen to black people's stuff if you don't like them? Like, I don't go to, like, Klan channels or neo-Nazi channels and say, you know what, I'm going to go listen to what the neo-Nazi is talking about and I'm going to write comments. You know, don't be talking about black people. Like, why are you there? That's their stuff. Don't go there. They didn't invite you. So it's the same thing. It's like they are obsessed, some of them, with, you know, our channels. And then, like, I've had some of them get mad at me because they're thinking they thought, listening to my some opinions I've had, that they could say anything they want to say. And I tell them in a minute, I'm a black man. You know that, right? You're not going to talk about black people on my channel. Matter of fact, I'm going to delete you and block you. I've done that many times, and they come back on my other channel and be like, oh, you know, why'd you block me? I said, because you're talking about black folks. I said, you forgot I'm black or what? I'm not some light, almost white type of dude.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but, hey, I got some people that would do that. Now, have you seen racist white people come to your channel?
No, I don't think I have.
Okay, well, it's kind of...
One person left a comment, and he said something to the extent of, like, oh, go look at this documentary from Liberia. I guess it's like a Civil War thing, how people were getting killed. And he was like, killing or this type of animal behavior is in your bloodline. And I was like, I said something like, I'm not white. Like, what are you talking about? Because to me, when I read the history books, white people did all the killing in the world.
Yeah, I read a post the other day. You know, it was some racist person left a black person, and they called him a monkey. And they said, well, you know, you peel that fur back off of that monkey, I said, it's the same skin color as you, so I guess you the monkey. I'm like, wow.
Toby.
Wow. No, that's what they said, because they said they called him a monkey. I'm like, wow, that's a good comeback.
Yeah, like, I'm like, you know, I don't know. I think from my channel, I think people can see that I'm not one to be messed with. I don't take kindly to ignorance.
Like, now, let me ask you a question. What about people that have an issue with dark-skinned black women? You're a dark-skinned black woman yourself. What do you think about the attack on dark-skinned black women? I mean,
honestly, being young, it's like, let's talk about being young, especially middle school and high school, people really start to get into hip-hop and, you know what I'm saying, like watching rap videos and stuff. Mm-hmm. You would always see on TV, like, us being portrayed, like, the most, like, you know, like, the, not even sexual, like, you know, okay, let's say sensual is, like, oh, she's beautiful, she's curvy, she's that, and let's call it sexual being, like, animalistic kind of behavior, like, you know, like, you know, and it was, like, you would watch these videos, like, Def Jam videos, especially with Hype Williams, like, all these dark-skinned girls were always doing the most. Like, she was the one on the floor, she was the one doing this, she was the one getting her behind smacked. And then the light-skinned girl, they got to walk in with the rapper, like, did it. Does that make sense? So growing up in high school, it was like people expected you, like, you know, like, I would get people to come up to me and say things like, oh, Marlene, like, you know, because your lips are big, do you have big lips? You understand? Or people would come up to me and ask me about my posterior, or do you take it? I mean, this is like, I'm like 16, and people were saying these things. I'm like, what the heck is this? You know, but then later you come to, and then also Jay-Z would say things like, oh, he doesn't like dark-skinned girls because growing up he didn't have light-skinned girls who liked him, so he only dates, like, light-skinned girls. You always hear that, and it did make you feel some type of way when you were younger. Like, maybe I'm ugly, or maybe all people want from me is my butt and my lips, you know. So, yeah, it does affect you, but then you get older and you kind of get over that. Now, when you come on YouTube, though, one thing you do realize from beauty community, of course, like, white girls and Asians, like, they definitely, like, reign supreme. But amongst black mm-hmm. people, there definitely is this dichotomy of skin shades. Like, you have the light-skinned mixed girl. They even have a tag called the mixed girl tag, you know, and they talk about their woos and how they were bullied by dark-skinned girls, and they grew up listening to Mariah Carey and all that kind of stuff, you know. And then you have the dark-skinned girls who are kind of like the unwanted girls of YouTube when it comes to beauty, the beauty community, you know? And you see a mm-hmm. lot of dark-skinned girls chasing
after... So you think the dark-skinned girls aren't wanted in the beauty community?
If they're not wanted, they're definitely not as appreciated as being beautiful as somebody, for example, who may be light-skinned or mixed with curly hair that curly that hair, mm-hmm. that kind of strings up and all that kind of stuff. You understand what I'm saying? And you see a mm-hmm. lot of dark-skinned girls who chase after that. Like, they want to be that mixed girl. You're like, let me give you an example. Like, I came across a channel, and because my first language is French, so I came across this channel, and the girls are doing their videos in French and English. So I'm like, oh, that's awesome, you know, because I like to hear people speak French. I just like to hear that. So I was about to subscribe. So, you know how with the new setup, the new layout now, if you're not a new subscriber, it'll take you to their main channel page so you can see their trailer or whatever video they opt to put up there as their trailer. So
yeah.
I go there to see, I see their channel box, like all the people that they recommend, and all the girls are mixed.
I have a question for the sister.
Yeah, they're all mixed. So I was
hold on a second. What's your name, brother?
Hey, this is Joe Neckbone. How you doing?
How you doing? What's up? You wanted to ask a question to?
The one I was just talking.
Oh, Marlene.
Yeah, Marlene. How are you, Marlene?
Hi. How are you?
All right. My question is, all right, in pop culture, you're being fed all these media streams. Why do you embrace the ones that are negative?
What do you mean by embrace the ones that are negative?
Well, I was listening to what you were saying. You were talking about these particular instances about dark-skinned women where you felt, you know, a certain way about it. But
that was in high school.
You right, but I'm asking.
Marlene, let him finish, Marlene, so you can answer correctly.
But the question is, like, and again, this is just, as a guy, we have a whole different sense of a sense of experiences about stuff like that. So I'm asking you, in a world of a media stream where there are, in fact, positive images of dark-skinned women, what makes you focus on the negative ones?
Okay. But I want to say this. For me, being honest, being in high school, being in middle school, when you're 15, 16, your middle school, your high school community is like your universe.
Okay.
Does that make sense? So if people treat you a certain way, or like we all used to go home and listen to rap music, I mean, you want to fit in, you want to be cool, you're a kid, like it is what it is. So you are going to feel some type of way about these people that you love to listen to their music and they're saying these things. Now, when you become 18, though, and you go to college and you experience different things and you learn to become like your own, like you grow into your own person, which happens every day. Like now I'm 28, so it's completely different. Now you have a voice. Now you can actually say, hold up, you don't have a right to make me feel this way.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? We would be in classes sometime and it would be like, oh, you know, everybody would go after the light skin. Even in high school, the light skin girl, the Dominican girl, whatever. And you were like, oh, maybe I'm not that pretty. But when you get older, you learn to also appreciate yourself for who you are. Because your self-worth, you're not
going to
let anybody else determine that for you.
Yeah. I came out of a generation before you. You know, I was I grew up in Queens, New York, and I watched rap get born, pretty much. And so, mm-hmm. you know, my generation had a different set of experiences with hip-hop and rap than you guys did. You guys came behind in the video era. So I was just kind of curious, you know, what made these particular negative images resonate with you as opposed to some positive ones? That's all.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Ms. Gabriella, go ahead, then I'll go. What's your name, Ms. Gabriella?
Well, it wasn't with the music videos because I wasn't really into music videos, but I had certain experiences in high school that were kind of similar to her, except for it was more of, it was like I didn't think that I was pretty, because whenever I would look at magazines, like I would just be in the supermarket and every single person that was on the magazines was white. And it was a black woman, she was photoshopped to be like 20 shades lighter. And I remember the first time that I actually thought that I was like, wow, black women are actually beautiful, was when my mom brought home it was a black hair magazine. You know, there were 52 major magazines for black women. And there was the Hype Hair and then the Black Hair magazine. And I had seen those women. I was like, wow, there's actually beautiful black women out there that aren't shaking their asses in music videos like what I had seen, you know. So I understand where she was coming from. Because there aren't a lot of, I'm not a dark-skinned girl, but there aren't a lot of positive images out there with black women. So if you're a girl, you can kind of relate a little bit better because women emulate what they see. And since we don't really see any, I mean, the images of the negative images are more out there than the positive images are.
So what about Essence?
For you to embrace the positive ones because you don't really, they're not pushed as much. Because whenever a woman is articulate, she's intelligent, she's speaking something, or she's speaking on something that could actually uplift someone, that kind of thing is kind of pushed down. But when a woman, like, I guarantee you put two videos out there, it could be the same person. One video of her bent over, half naked, shaking her ass on YouTube, that thing would blow up and get, it would be all over the internet. But if she made a video, sat down at a computer, talking about a black issue or talking about trying to uplift people, that wouldn't even get half as, like, that wouldn't get half the traffic that the twerking video would get. She would probably get maybe like 4,000 views most in a year. And that's just how it is.
Yeah, well, a lot of people don't understand too. Like, you know, they are women. Women are women, no matter what race they are. They're women, and women have feelings, and women wants to be desired. Women, you know, want men to, you know, come after them. They want that male attention too. And if a sister's dark skin doesn't mean that she doesn't want the same attention that light skinned chick may be getting, because they all women. They all got an ego. Maybe some bigger than the others, but they all have an ego. So if you, you know, it's kind of, it's the same, it's kind of like we have a discrimination within our own race, kind of like, you know, we say white and black discrimination. I mean, like, let's keep it real, brother. Let's keep it real. In the black community, the light-skinned black woman is like just the crown jewel. We got to admit it. We have to admit it. I'm not saying it's right. I'm saying that that's how brothers act with them. And it's proven time and time again from California to New York how brothers act. And so sometimes, you know, dark-skinned sisters go the extra mile to get your attention, and they have to do a lot more to get your attention versus this light-skinned chick that can be just, she could be a hood rat, too, because I've seen, they act like light-skinned chicks ain't hood rats. They can be hood rat, too, and I've seen dudes pass over actually better-looking dark-skinned sisters for just an okay-looking light-skinned chick. I've seen them do it just because she's light-skinned. I mean, just if you, they got even, moms even tell some of their sons to give them a light-skinned chick. You know what I'm saying? I mean, so we have some messed up stuff within our own race when it comes to that color situation.
And you even have moms who discriminate amongst their children. Like, who's darker, who's lighter? When I I get these types of emails every day, I'm like, are you serious?
Yeah, they do that. You know, and it's sad.
If they have different dads, and one's lighter or she has better hair, her mom will treat her different, and then she'll treat the dark-skinned child different. I'm like, are you kidding me? These are both your children.
Like, I've seen it firsthand. They'll sit there and actually insult the dark-skinned child and make them feel bad about themselves. And then they'll sit there. They'll, like, sit there and be on the couch cuddling with the light-skinned child, brushing their hair, telling them how beautiful they are. But then a little dark-skinned girl will be like, oh, look at you. And then when they'll be combing the girl's hair, they'll be like, oh, your hair's so nappy. And they'll, like, slap the kid with the comb and start yelling at them and say, why is your hair like this? And it's the treatment that black people give light-skinned kids is just, and the treatment between light-skinned and dark-skinned kids is just night and day.
But we can't say that, though, because that's a female thing. Because I've seen with black men, We don't think the light-skinned brother is, like, better than us. Man, the light-skinned brother and dark-skinned brother is the same. We are the same. And you know what I'm saying? I mean, we all ride for each other. And we're not worrying about that light-skinned dude getting a chick and we ain't getting a chick. It's like, oh, well, they got so many of them for us to get. And as a dark-skinned black man myself, I've been called names about my color. And this is the crazy part. The ones that talked about me the most about my features and my color have been dark-skinned girls. In school, not the light skinned ones, and I'm like, why? You should understand, like, our plight as dark skinned people. Why are you telling me anything? You get what I'm saying?
It's easy for the oppressed to become the oppressor.
I guess so. And then that's why some of these brothers build up a complex about dark skinned sisters, and then that's when you have your Mr. TJ's created, making videos talking about darkies and all this other stuff, is because of that.
Yeah, I don't agree with it 100%.
I don't want to sound bad, but my experience is even now with people who are like, I'm more of a caramel complexion, so I don't know if that's light skin, dark skin. I honestly don't care. But my experiences growing up with black people was that the lighter a black person was, the nicer they were to me, and the darker they are, the meaner they are to me. I could be in the supermarket right now, and they'll sit there and say, if it's a dark-skinned sister, will sit there and say, mutter something under her breath, or just say something mean to me, or if it's a cashier, she'll disrespect me and greet the other customers a different way. So sometimes there is this kind of weird color war that goes on, and it's just with black females, because I haven't had that with black men.
Must be with females. Females are vicious, man. Y'all are vicious to each other. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the crazy part. It's like sometimes you hear sisters say that they don't like black women more than the dudes.
I've heard more black
women say they can't stand black women. That trips me out. Like, for real? Yeah. I never say that about brothers. I see a brother in the street. I say, hey, what's going on, brother? I speak to him. You know what I'm saying? They'll say, oh, I want to talk to him.
No, but black men are more, like, they greet each other more often, at least, like, you know, the nod or they acknowledge each other, but we really don't. Every time you meet a new black woman, there's always this anxiety, like,
is
she
going to
give an attitude? Is she going to be nice to me? There really is, like, a moment of silence, like in the jungle kind of. It's just weird. There's so much anxiety. I'm like, oh, my God, this is too much. And that's why I said, to me personally, I always smile, because I think when you smile, it just neutralizes people. But when you are dark-skinned, though, a lot of people feel as though, oh, you're nice for a dark-skinned girl. It's like, what? Because when you're dark, people, sometimes people do expect you to be mean. So, and you see that, and even on YouTube, I've kind of seen that. That's why sometimes I'm like, maybe you can't hold it against a girl. She's light-skinned because maybe she was bullied by somebody who's dark-skinned. So she thinks everybody who's dark-skinned is going to treat her some type of way or make her feel some type of way because she is light-skinned and because she has certain features. I'm like, but not everybody is like that.
Well, you know, I think a lot of it has to do with how men are raised. Men, we compete and we work together as teams in sports. And so that essence, that grist of teamwork tends to transfer into life. You know, like when me and my friends, we used to go out, and I went out with a range of friends of different heights, different weights, different, you know, pigmentations. But we never looked at each other like, oh, he's going to get all the women and I'm not. You know, it wasn't a competition with each other. It was us against the world, you know. So we didn't have the group rivalries or anything like that. So I guess it's just that's how it is. But, man, you know, women are vicious, man. Wow.
Women are something else, man.
Like, there's a crowd of, like, you can see, like, if I go to a black college, so you can see, like, a group of dark-skinned girls and a group of light-skinned girls, and they kind of just look at each other and just give each other a certain look. And it's like, why? We're all the same. So why are we fighting about this?
But it's black men. Like I say, unfortunately, what causes y'all the biggest argument, though, think about it. Y'all want our attention as black men so bad that y'all have a drag out fight over it. All the stuff black women do to themselves is for the attention of black men. Think about it. They do all these illegal butt injections for who? For black men. They want to make sure their hair look nice and silky and everything. For who? Black men. Don't give me that, oh, I'm doing that for myself. Stop lying. Because you know, well, you were doing it for yourself, you wouldn't be wasting all that money and time. You know you want you a man. Because the moment you get a man that you feel is yours, all of a sudden it starts slacking up a little bit. It's not as much. So don't tell me if you weren't doing that, you were doing it for you.
You should see what I look like now. Just like, yeah, you're absolutely right.
Well, I don't know. The two pictures I've seen of you was made up, so I don't know.
You don't understand.
What did you say, Miss Gabriella?
I said I'm over here looking like Aunt Jemima, so I understand.
Oh, wow, really? You got on the rag like Aunt Jemima? Oh, you got the new Aunt Jemima with the rag off.
I got a little scarf on and everything else.
I like what you said about that we're doing it for the black man, because I think sometimes you don't even realize we're like this competitive and this evil. But you're right, though. you're right, because when you think about it, like, marriage is really, I mean, even now we work, but I mean, like, think back, like, all the way back. Marriage was really how you had upward mobility, whether it's financially, socioeconomically, or even by, like, genetically, you know? That's why sometimes, like, you have a lot of people who marry white, because to me, they really want to self-erase genetically, because you can have, or you can feel as though you're having genetical superiority when you mix your bloodline.
If a black person mix their bloodline with anybody else, that child is still going to be black. So you can't mix that out. And we have the strongest gene.
Yeah, but people who self-hate, though, you probably think your child's going to have better opportunities because your child's going to be light-skinned or mixed.
Mm-hmm. Like, I know people that actually were put
there. It's really sad. Like, have people... Yeah, it's really sad to have people, like, really, like, I remember reading, like, I took a course on South African history, and it's, like, how people would try to erase themselves genetically by, like, you know, trying to get lighter or trying to marry white so that the other babies would not, their kids would not have to go through what they were going through because, you know, even here in America they had that. If you were lighter, like, because in South Africa they had curfews, for example. So if you were darker skinned, you had to be, like, home by 7 because you're darker. Who knows what you're capable of doing, you know? The darker you are, the more savage you are. And it's like if you're lighter skinned, you're more white people, so maybe you're more mild-mannered, and so you can get home at, like, 9 o'clock. Or, I mean, it was just ridiculous. So a lot of people wanted to look white, I mean, wanted to look mixed, or at least find a white person to have a baby with so that way their child could have a better future.
What people don't realize, it's crazy to me how people are today. And back in the day, you know, when everything was original, you know, when black people had a white baby, they cast that baby out or they kill it because they looked at it as an abomination or something from the devil. Because, I mean, whether you notice or not, white people come from us. So, you know, they shipped them out and they went up to the Caucasus Mountains and they was over there minding their business over there. I mean, now, as they kept having babies with each other, that's how they started the Caucasoids. You get what I'm saying? And now, you know, they, you know, unfortunately, you know, black folks, that's how Achilles heel. We so nice. We love everybody. And, you know, black people civilized them, and that's what happened to them. They turned on everybody. And now they flipped it where something wrong with you being dark. But really, that's where you come from. And that's why they understand. Think about it. Why are they so obsessed with us so much? It's because they're a part of us. That's why. They have a connection with us that they don't realize. But you have to study your history to realize that. You know, most people don't want to talk about that. You know, I've been thinking about putting that video up on my main channel from a few years ago where that black family had that you know, blonde hair baby and white baby. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been really thinking about doing a video on that, just messed the head up.
I mean, it happens all the time. Like, it's crazy because no other race of people can do that.
It's true. It's true. I mean, how are you going to mix two white people and produce a kid my color? It's just not going to happen.
Well, genetics is an awesome thing, man.
It is. And once you study it, it should make you more proud once you study it about who you are as black people. That's what black people need to do. They need to study it. Why do you think we was told we couldn't read? And we couldn't research stuff ourselves. But once you research it, it makes you feel proud of who you are. And that's why all this dark skin, light skin, back in the day, it was nothing but dark skin people. You know, like, so somebody like myself or somebody like you, Marlene, we be standing up ruling junk. It wouldn't be no light skinned black woman. Light skinned black woman come from a slave master raping. That's what that was introduced at.
Well,
back then also people read.
I mean, there are some people in Africa who range from, I will say, like Sierra's complexion to like Akon. So it's not like every single African person has a really really dark skin. Because there's some of them that will.
Oh, well, I know that, Miss Gabriella.
I'm just saying, so you know.
But I'm talking about that high yellow Drake-looking color black folks. I got some of them in my family. They black. If you see them, you like. Matter of fact, I'm going to send you a link to one of my cousin's page on Facebook after the show, and you're going to be tripped out. That's
one of my cousins. She looks like she's Chinese. So.
Yeah, I think. Have you seen what I'm talking about?
No, but I'm saying that's what my cousin looks like. She looks Chinese.
You should see my niece. My niece is another one. She had long hair, and she's real light skin. And you and my sister get upset because people ask if she's mixed. But you can see she got black features all day long. And she has, like, that sandy blonde hair. So, you know, I mean, it's a trip. I mean, the thing is, you know, as black people, we need to get our stuff together, you know, best way we can. Me, I'm all about helping brothers and sisters. I don't mind joining with brothers and sisters as long as you're on the up and up and trying to do the right thing. That's what I'm trying to do. I don't have this attitude that, you know, F black people, I'm trying to get mine. I'm not like that.
That's where the cooning comes in.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, I don't care about nobody else but myself, the only person. Like, I came in this world alone, I'm going to die alone. So if I have to, you know, kill a couple of elephants to build my ivory tower, I don't care. That seems like that's what's going on the internet.
Yeah, why that's my thing. Why can't we help each other? That's the question I have. Like I had a brother, you know, he'd been watching me for a minute, and you know, he was asking me everything, how I do this, how I do that. You know, I told him all the information. I'm working with him so he can get partnered and everything, and telling him all the stuff he needs to know, and he doing it. Now, about that kind of, you know, Negro that has this attitude, why he sitting up there trying to want to do videos like me? You know, why he's trying to steal my stuff. Copy me. You know what I'm saying? That kind of Negro. No, we're supposed to help each other out. That's because there's enough room for everybody. That's the thing. If
we
everybody
do.
Gets
yeah,
to
help
the
help
top.
Each other
we
out.
That.
No, we,
don't
we do help
that.
Each other out. No, that's not true. We do help each
no,
other out all the time. You just don't hear right. about it or you're not seeking that news. But it happens all the time. All the
well,
time.
Brother, I'm going to tell you what. I'm not saying it does not happen because it does happen sometimes. But I've talked to people from family to people I know in different industries, comedy, journalism, stuff like that, and they'll tell you in a minute that, man, like the higher I go, the less black folks, it's my friends. It's like they want to keep attacking me. They don't want to join with me. I want to help them. I want to do this. I want to do that. I mean, this stuff is real, what we're saying about,
it's
you know,
real.
Some black folks.
And it does happen. I mean, I'm not saying that. Like, I try to help. Like, I have people that have come to me for advice, and like, I have friends that they see that I have some degree of success online, and I try to tell them, I mean, I try to do exactly what you do, just try to help them out. But at the same time, I have girls on my Facebook who, whenever they see that somebody else is trying to scale up and is becoming better at their hair or their makeup, they will try whatever in their power to bring them down because they're like, man, this is competition, and I don't want that. And they all want
look.
Me to token to grow.
Yeah,
yeah, they don't want you. They don't have
hold on, hold on, hold on. I've been online maybe 27 years now, somewhere around there. I got online first in the 80s. I started at .com. My company was one of the first to go on CompuServe. That's how far back I go.
Ooh,
way before
CompuServe,
Facebook, way before AOL, way before all
yeah,
that. I've seen all of this come and go. Yeah, yeah. So I'm just saying. People do help each other out. They do all the time. But you can't look at black culture through the lens of pop culture. You can't look at black culture through the lens of the internet. Because, number one, everybody that claims to be black is not. I can tell you that right now. You mean you want to be online, all right? So it's just a picture and words. You don't know who's who or what's what. And also, too, since the advent of AOL and now an extension, Black Planet, and then Facebook, you know, a really nasty underside of people are coming out online because they feel like, I don't know these people, so I can act an ass. But the reality is there are a lot of people that are helping each other. Like Blog Talk, I'm a Blog Talk host. Me and my crew must have over 300 shows in the can already. So, you know, we've been doing this a long, long time. And I can tell you, you're not going to do it alone, number one. You just have to align with people that are moving in the same direction as you. Now, some will stick with you a while, some won't, but you can't be negative about it because once you start becoming negative about it, you become part of the problem as opposed to the solution. And that's just my suggestion.
But his basic brother saying, line yourself with the right people, stay away from the negative people. That's about it. You know, when I'm doing something, that's about what I do. Like look at Miss Gabriella, for instance. Miss Gabriella wouldn't even be, you know, on this show if she wasn't one of them positive, you know, headstrong sisters. I mean, that, you know what I'm saying? I mean, if you just not one, it's not going to... Give me a second. Hey, what's going on? What's up, man? What's on your mind? Troy, are you on the line?
Hello?
Yeah, you on the line?
What's up?
What's up? You got something to say? You called in?
Yeah. What you doing?
I'm doing a radio show. What you doing?
Yeah, I know. I know, yeah. I just want to talk about cooning, you know. It's a lot of people that coon. Man, it's sad, you know.
Why is it sad?
Yeah. I know, you know. Yeah, it's sad.
And you need to explain to me, Troy, you're making me laugh, man. You need to explain to me why cooning is sad. Like what's the point, bro?
Like, because people, they're coon for money, and they disrespect their race and everything, and it's sad. Like, people shouldn't do that, because I feel like it's crazy. You don't see no other race do that but black people. I noticed that. You know what I'm saying? They, like, black people, they hate themselves, it seems like. Because, you know, like, the racist people put that in their mind that your race is bad. And then, you know, they'll act like it's bad for real, and then they hate everybody in their race, you know. I feel like it's so many negativity on YouTube. They just need to take YouTube off, man. It's sad.
Oh, no, we can't take YouTube off because I actually enjoy it. And I make my videos, Troy. You don't want me to make my videos? Come on, Troy.
No,
Marlene, would you not like to make your videos, Marlene?
No, I'm talking about the bad people should be picking up.
My videos.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I think what he's saying is because you have a growth of people who are more embarrassing than people who are voting positivity.
Hold on a second, Marlene. Give me a second, Troy. What you got going on in the background, man? I hear everything. Y'all watching this?
Sorry, people fighting.
My mom washing dishes.
Mama, come on, Mama. We trying to do a show.
Yeah, I want to say this before I go. All
right.
I'm going to say this. I feel like if you have fancy cars and fancy houses, you know, that ain't no get you nowhere. Because that ain't no get you in the heaven at the end of the day. You know, God is number one. Because, you know, your deceivers is out there. I'd rather be a believer than a deceiver. You know, because... If you're a believer, you'll always be by your side. But if you're a deceiver, you know, your deceiver will be gone. So that's why, you know, I like God, because he's a believer. He's not a deceiver. You know, this people just hating on black women for no reason. I mean, and people actually taking up for that, you get money. You go into hotels and stuff. And y'all glad about that? Anyway, I thank y'all for you on my Vibe Show, because, you know, I've been listening to your message. You know, you say positive stuff, not negative stuff, you know.
I appreciate you listening, for sure.
Yeah, thank you, sir.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, Daddy. They call me your daddy on YouTube.
Well, yeah, I'm supposed to be his extra child, too, so...
Oh, yeah, oh, yeah, 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 you're my child, yeah, Troy is my son, who else? I mean, he just giving me, I'm just been giving kids that I ain't claiming on my W-2.
I know.
You don't need to start claiming y'all.
I don't know how me to be a daughter, but whatever.
Yeah, how old are you, Ms. Gabriella? May I put you on my insurance? You ain't 26 yet, huh?
No.
So since Obama changed it.
I guess we could say that.
Sure, might well put you on my insurance.
Okay. Can I have a cut then?
that's not the way insurance works. I'm talking about health insurance.
Oh. I thought you were talking about claiming me as dependent or something. But okay.
Oh, no.
I don't pay taxes.
You claim yourself. You claim yourself. Oh, don't you? Yeah, but y'all, you get, y'all know what I'm talking about? Talking about extra kids?
Mm-hmm. Oh,
no, I'm not. No, the other, no, I'm talking about the other brother. You know what I'm talking about?
No.
Oh, you don't know.
You talking about on taxes? On taxes or health
insurance? No. Why they made a joke? Why they making a joke about I have extra kids?
Oh, I have no idea.
Oh, you have no idea. Well, there was a YouTuber that said that, you know, Miss Gabrielle is my daughter, and the guy that called, he's my son. So, you know.
I don't watch YouTube.
The lady that said I was your daughter was positive, so it wasn't bad, but.
Yeah, I don't watch YouTube. I don't watch it. You know, and same thing, I don't read Facebook. You know, I used to, but, you know, I got other things that I'm doing in life, you know. And every now and again, you know, I may run across a video or something that'll make me laugh or smile, but 90% of it I just ignore. Because YouTube just gave people, everybody a voice. And when you give everybody a voice, you're not going to like what you hear. You know, some of it you will.
Yeah, we know that.
Yeah, we know that. The trick is, like, you know, it monetized it. That's the thing. So if you're spewing out hate or you're spewing out crazy stuff, people jump on your page and comment, and you basically get checks from it. So as soon as they monetize the crazy, it kind of really went downhill. Prior to that,
it wasn't
this bad.
It was good because prior to that, only partners could be monetized. If you wasn't a YouTube partner, then you just, you just making videos, which most people, that's just what they did. So you would know who's a partner or not based on the ads. Well, Google bought it, and then they like, shoot, we're going to make money off of everybody. So they monetized it all. But there's a guy on there, and he really spews a lot of hate toward black women. I mean, he's advocated the death of black women. Yeah, see, you already knew. I thought you don't watch YouTube.
I've run across Tommy before and other places, but I don't watch his YouTube videos. You know, he has a blog talk show, too. I listened to it when he first came out, and it just kind of went left. And, you know, I'm just like, man, you know, some of this stuff.
So what he talks about, like he called dark-skinned black women darkies. He called black children nigglets. What are the names that he calls them? He called black women beasts. What else he called them, Ms. Gabriella? Ms. Gabriella?
Uh-oh. She might have dropped
it. Sorry. I said hair-headed hooligans. That's what it was.
Yeah, hair-headed hooligans. Now, Marlene, have you heard some of his videos?
Yeah, I've heard him. I came across his video because there's another black YouTuber who showcased some kind of technology to give you a firm butt or something. So then he found her video, and then he started back. I mean, he can be quite aggressive. He can be very, very aggressive. There's a lot of screaming going on. It's like, okay, you can just calm down and say what you have to say.
Oh, he loves me. He loves me to death. He made about 34 videos about me, a YouTube channel, a Twitter. Yeah, because I counted the other day, Ms. Gabrielle. I actually wanted to know how many it was. 34 for one guy.
He's making a lot of money. I can't figure out how he gets sponsorship from major companies, you know, for that kind of stuff. You know, I've been sitting here trying to rack my brain. Now, how is, you know, he's getting major sponsorship? But he just kind of paved the way for that kind of thing. And so now everybody and their brother's jumping on the bandwagon, wanting to get in on it because they see, hey, I can say any kind of crazy thing I want and get paid for it. So, you know, it opened a very dangerous door. And I got a feeling it's going to get worse before it gets better. But these things tend to come in cycles, so I don't worry too much about them.
They do.
Oh, yeah.
You stay online long enough, you hear it all, you know. But my only thing is that he tends to he tends to spawn other people like him. And, you know, Tommy is very interesting in that, you know, when you separate out the rhetoric, he's actually giving you a message in there. But most of these people are not. They're just giving you rhetoric. And so, you know, it starts to get old after a while. And so you just stop watching it and you ignore it and you move on. You know, like with me, we focus on just making our shows better. You know, forget what other people say. You know, we're working on doing our thing and taking it to the next level. You know, there's a lot of new technologies coming out to really push things to a whole new level. So, you know, we focus on that. Forget all this other stuff.
Yeah, I hear you trying to make your show better because, like I was, you know, talking to Gabriella today, you know, I got to, you know, give me some more studio equipment and that way I can make, you know, my presentation, you know, a little bit better and, you know, some other things I got, you know, in the works, you know, as well. I mean, because, you know, the more you put a more professional presentation on, you know, the better, you know, your situation to get, you know, with time.
Yeah.
So,
oh, yeah.
You know, I definitely feel you on that. But, no, I mean, when it comes to him, I mean, shoot, it was he even called this show one time with a drama. So, I mean,
really?
Yeah, I mean, oh, yeah, Ms. Gabriella, no, I mean, it was just a mess.
Okay,
I mean,
and
like,
I got people were talking about me. They don't even know about me, but it was a mess.
It was a mess. You know,
well, it's interesting because he generally doesn't call other people's shows. You know,
he called this one.
We have a Facebook room, and he became a member just to drop a link to his show and keep it going. And, you know, my thing is like, hey, I don't mind anybody, you know, pumping their show, but say something, you know, engage with our audience, engage with the people that are our followers. You know, don't just drop a link and go. I don't like link
bombing. But he says on his thing, I don't know why people be adding me to their groups. It's like you click the button and add yourself. Why are you lying?
How
can somebody add you to a group? Like, I've been on Facebook. I've never been added to a group that I didn't click my finger on and press join.
Yeah,
it's
just
I got it's a group, but people keep adding me to these Asian men and black women groups for some reason. So
black women.
Asian men and black women groups, because they, for some reason, they think that just because, I would say that a lot of my content is based on Japanese fashion. I don't have any desire for, I don't have anything against interracial relationships, but I don't present myself as somebody that really wants one, so I don't know how that happens. Then I also keep getting added to these black pride groups, so...
You talking about the hotel groups?
Yeah, those
hotel and black Hebrew
Israelites.
Israelites.
And I have nothing against that. That's, you know, be proud of your heritage, but at the same time, don't try to preach racism and indoctrinate people. I don't believe in that.
Well, they've been doing their thing a while, you know. So if you live in any major city. You know, you can find them in the middle of the city on a street corner doing their thing. They just took it to the online world. And I got to hand it to them. Their message is consistently angry. They've been angry for a long time, you know. So I used to see them when I lived in New York. They used to be in Midtown yelling at white folks, calling them the devil and stuff. And I'm like, man, come on, y'all. You know, there's only so much anger you can have before you just burn yourself out. But, you know, that's the thing with all these folks, you know, coming with hate. You can only stay angry for so long. You can only get away with that stuff so long. But, you know, you run out of stuff to be mad at. And you know, you start repeating yourself. You know?
You repeat yourself. Then you just start picking on people. And then when they respond, you say they're stalking you. And then they're harassing you. You know,
right.
so you can create more drama. I mean, at least that's from what we experience, right, Ms. Gabriella?
Yeah, but the shelf life for that stuff
that's
is really
what happened.
Short.
I mean, it does happen, though, but I mean, I'm not one for hatred and negativity. Like, whenever I have a lot of negative energy around me, I just try to get away from it, which is why I kind of slowly stopped using Facebook as much, because I just don't like all that drama and the negativity and the social climbing and spitting on each other and stabbing best friends in the back just so you can get one step ahead. I don't agree with stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, neither do I. But there's a ton of groups, you know, with men that really have an axe to grind against sisters. I mean, I've seen some real venom being spewed. And, you know, it's kind of scary, you know, that a lot of these young folks got so much anger in them. You know, I mean, wow, you know, I'm an old dude. I'm in my 50s. And so, you know, just I'm past the point where I'm going to grind axes like that. Now, you know, I'll point out certain things to people which kind of makes them mad, but definitely to get on and say, you know, this, that, and the other thing, and start grinding, you know, axes and cutting open wounds is just, eh. But anyway, guys, I got to run. You know, it's nice
talking
brother. To you. Keep the show going. You know, keep a positive attitude, positive message,
right.
And you'll last for a while because there's always something good to talk about. Believe me, always
that's
something
true,
good.
True
to
that.
Talk.
That's why I make sure I post the positive, too.
Yeah.
All right. All right, brother.
Have a good one, guys.
All right. Now, you was talking about the grinding axes. You know half of the problem with these dudes that's acting like that? Is they get their little feelings hurt.
They got feelings hurt by a girl. And so
yeah.
Now they have this little vendetta. And they're like, man, I'm gonna get back at every single girl that did me wrong in my past. And, I mean, a lot of it actually does come out. If you watch a lot of these videos from a lot of these black men that go around preaching this hatred against black women, if you actually watch more than one of their videos and you actually sit there and watch, like, I'm the type of person who actually analyzes people, and I'll pick up little clues here and there that most people won't catch. And sometimes people will talk about their childhood and how this family member treated them bad, and when they were in school, you know, the girls didn't give them a lot of attention because they were dark-skinned. And, you know, and they'll say, like, little things, like, and then even if it's a light-skinned brother, he'll say the same thing. Like, I had such a hard time with black women, which is why now I'm all for interracial dating. I'm married to a white woman, and there's nothing wrong with that if that's, you know, who you find happiness with. You know, Godspeed, I'm happy for you. But to sit there and completely disrespect your fellow black woman, I don't see anything. Like, I don't see how that's possible because all my life I've had, like, the people who have treated me the worst were black people. And I still have love for them. To this day, I still do. Like, it doesn't matter how many black people have treated me bad and still treat me bad. I'm not going to sit there and turn my back on my own people. For what? I mean, that's life. It happens. But,
exactly. Because anybody can cheat on you. I mean, you know, these dudes running around here talking about, oh, these black women, all they do is cheat, have babies out of wedlock, this. I say, well, hold on. 9 out of 10 of them babies are with black men. So that's first and foremost. I say, ask a white dude if white women cheat. Since y'all like to, you know, big them up like that, I mean, and y'all stupid because if you talk to some white dudes, they cheat. Any woman could cheat. That's just a no-good woman. I mean, the thing is, they focus so much on color, and they so, you know, twisted up in their head with basically, you want to say racism and colorism, that how is it that you think one color spectrum of a woman is better than the other color spectrum? Like, where do you get that from? I mean, it doesn't make sense. I mean, but these guys that be on here, just tearing a new one in black women, a new one, and a relentless edit, too. But they don't never tear up a new one if, you know, somebody else of a different race do it. Me, I don't discriminate. If you do wrong, I show you. That's one thing you can say about any channel that I have. You cannot say that I'm all show black people doing wrong. I show everybody doing wrong.
Because everybody does do wrong. And to sit there, there was a one YouTuber who made a video, and he was basically tearing apart an argument that Painless Risen, I don't know how you want to pronounce it because I know he's very particular about it, but Painless had made a video talking about how many crimes that black people commit, and they said, oh, well, all black people just commit petty crimes, and we don't do any, like, we don't even have the brains to commit a real crime, like a white-collar crime and, you know, embezzlement type thing. And then then the guy showed clips of just white people beating people up for no reason, taking their money, doing petty thievery, petty thievery and things like that, because it's just a show that just because, I mean, your skin color does not really have anything to do with it. A person is a person. At the
exactly.
end of the day, people are going to do whatever they want to do, no matter what color they are. So to sit there and say that, oh, well, all black people are negative, it's just another form of cooning, too. You may not be dancing and, you know, soft-shoeing and cooning and things like that, but at the same time, you're still making fun of black people. Well, maybe not making fun of, but you're tarnishing the image of black people just to make yourself look bad.
Yeah.
But see, that's why I had to stop watching shows like Cops, The First 48, MSNBC Lockdown, because I was like, what are these shows doing for me?
Mm-hmm.
Like, seriously, this is not supposed to be entertainment. And it's like when they would do, especially like The First 48, they were always taping in Dade County, Miami, Louisville, Kentucky. You know what I'm saying? It's like, so you really mean to say that in Beverly Hills, young people don't kill people too?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And so you miss the entire context. Like, it's not the color. It is like the, it's the socioeconomic thing. Like, if you put people in a place where there is no job, there's nothing to do, you understand? People are going to start committing crimes. That's, there's a reason why, if it's Hebrew or whatever, there's a reason why this word ghetto means ghetto. It's not a good place. It's not a place people go and prosper and, like, oh, let's be enlightened. Let's start reading books. It is a place where you put people there so they can, like, kill themselves, start acting a certain way. You know, just kind of, like, it's not a place for a human being is what I'm trying to say. So mm-hmm. if you can put anybody, white, Asian, black, whatever, you can put them in these communities where there are no jobs, there's nothing to do, there's no outlook on life, you know, besides, like, committing crimes. I'm sure a lot of people would do it because nobody's going to sit there and just starve.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So give me a second. Erico 912, you on the show.
Oh, I was just calling in about the Russell Simmons situation. I just found out about that. I think it was yesterday. And
mm-hmm.
I just think that was just awful. That's just totally disrespectful. And mm-hmm. I just thought it was just awful.
Yes, it was. Cause, you know, Harriet Tubman is one of my favorite people, you know, in black history. I mean, she was a very, you know, she helped a lot of people get to freedom. And for them to take advantage of, you know, her legacy and just tarnish it in that way. I mean, they could have took that, even if they wanted to be funny.
They could have
just
any black slave. They didn't have to sit there and take Harriet. I mean, I still would have been outraged if it was a black slave, but the fact that they actually took Harriet Tubman. And see, Russell Simmons, I would have been upset with anyone black doing that. But Russell Simmons, I think someone said it's closer to 60, almost 60 years old. He's too old to be acting like that, you know. I mean, you know, black should be ashamed of themselves. But you would expect, expected more with him being the age. But then again, I was looking at something today that Russell Simmons, you know, with the situation with Don Lemon, Don Lemon was responding to him, and you know, y'all have to look up that video on YouTube where he was just. I was just shocked, just with his mindset for him to be in that particular way at his age. I just couldn't believe it, and to disrespect her, I'm just like, you know, Harriet, she's one of my favorite out of all people. I was just outraged about that. That was just, it was just awful. And he wanted to offer an apology. Well, I'm really just tired of these people just being disrespectful, you know, going back to Lil Wayne with the Emmett Till situation. And then after it all come down, you know, they want to apologize. I guess they think they're making themselves look good, but they're really making themselves to other people outside of black communities just to look ignorant, because they're not getting any respect for those people because they look at them as being still and ignorant. I don't know what he had to gain by doing that. You know, and that video, I hadn't even seen the video until I went onto your website and I saw it. It was horrible. It was literally horrible.
And the reason why I put it on my website, because I knew the moment I saw it the first night that they was going to pull it. I knew it. I better get a copy, I said, because they're going to pull it. And the next morning I woke up to check, they pulled it. I said, uh-huh,
and
I knew that.
And for the black woman to sell her soul out, this is the problem I have for her, because black women are constantly degraded anyway, and then for her to even play that part, you know, just to play that part, you know.
You went to her YouTube channel?
It's ridiculous.
Oh, you did?
I
told everybody to go to her YouTube channel and let them know how you feel about that.
Oh, no, I haven't gone to her channel, but, oh, I will go to her channel. You better believe that. Oh, I will go. I just haven't had time to go to it. But, you know, it just goes to show you the level that we have just gotten ourselves to just do anything, just to get ourselves out there, just to disrespect, you know, our ancestors like that. We have no respect for anyone. And then we wonder why come people are shooting black men down in the streets like Trayvon Martin and all this. This is the reason it happens, because we have no respect, and we don't have no respect for ourselves. So, you know, how do we expect other people to have respect for us? You know, it's just awful. I mean, I was just outraged behind it. It was just terrible.
Okay, give me a second. 727 area code, you on the show.
Oh, hey, what's going on, Vaso?
Yeah, what's going on, brother? You got a comment?
Yes, I do. It's like I've been listening to you guys for a long time. I was about this cooning epidemic. This is a disease, especially in the Tampa Bay area where I live at. It's unbelievable how these I saw the whole sex tape with the hair telling. It wasn't right, man. It just like anybody, it's just like I said, it's just like I'm going to say, if you can pay a coon like $1 million, you know, grade it on history books. You know what I mean? Even though we fought hard to say no, none of us.
Okay. All right. Well, give me a second there. Area code 770, you're on the show.
Hello. How are you?
How you doing?
Fine. This is Twinkie647 on YouTube.
Oh, hey, Miss Twinkie, how you doing?
I'm just fine. I just wanted to interject something. Right now I'm kind of finishing up my dinner, so I wanted to kind of make it quick. You know, a long time ago, my grandma said something that is actually true. She said black women will be the mule of the world. What's her name? Zora Neale Hurston wrote that in her book, Their Eyes Were Watching God. That the way she worded it was, the nigger woman will be the mule of the world forever, as far as I can see. And as you see through time, black women continue to be the mules of the world. When white women didn't want to wreck their bodies and stretch their breasts out to feed their children, it was the black women that suckled those children. And those same children ended up calling those same women nigger later on. My grandma died at 109, and those were horrific stories that I was told. So I've always made sure that I had the back of my black man. And I would hope that my black man would have my back also. I kind of missed the 80s and the early 90s when the difference in the variety of hip-hop was coming along, when you had the Public Enemy, when you had the different types of music and the types of movements that was going on. You know, people was really being more conscious and aware. But it seems like once the higher-ups, the elite, started seeing that, they started trying to make music conform us instead of us conforming with the music, because if you really listen to it, music is life. And the more changes in the music and the more disrespect that the music is actually allowing and people are actually allowing when they hear it, you see the changes in media. You know, it's never been cool to call any woman a bitch. But once they start letting it be okay in the cartoons and then start being okay in the everyday television world, then everybody feels like now it's just okay to call a woman a bitch. It still has the same sting, but they still doing it. It travels down into the black women because we as a society have never been unified. We've never been unified. And it seems like now this cooning is separating us more. When people say stuff about race wars and stuff like that, that'll never happen because we got too many coons that's wearing our skin. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
They'll be the ones pointing and showing where we're at. They'll be the Mandingos. I don't know if you ever seen that movie, but they'll be the Mandingos pointing us out, letting the white man know where we are. You know,
yes,
this
ma'am.
Cooning has turned. I mean, I didn't even realize that cooning was at the level that it is until I actually got back on YouTube a few months back. And when I saw it, it was just unbelievable, just the disrespect for anyone to say the things that they're saying. I'm not saying that some of the people don't deserve it, because if I see somebody disrespecting their child or hurting their child or doing something unmotherly, call them out on it. But I'm not going to take their experience and things that I saw from them and labeled the whole race like that. On my channel, I kind of show a lot of news that has different races, and I see on your channel you have a lot of news that shows different races and unbelievable acts. When you show that it's happening in different races, then you come to the realization that there's a problem in the world. But if you just concentrate on one area, you will not serve any purpose at all. And the coons on YouTube are not serving any purpose because all they're doing is sitting around and complaining and gathering the riches, but they're not doing anything. They're not giving back to the community. If I see a woman slapping her child and I feel like that's wrong, what the hell do I look like telling Susie about it? If I don't tell her that she's wrong and tell her the right way to discipline her child, I'm doing wrong. It takes a village to raise a child, and it seems like the whole village is just separated. Everybody's on a me type quest.
Well, they're being influenced also. They're being also influenced though a lot too. These young impressionable men being influenced by the uncle. You know what uncle I'm talking about? They want to be like their uncle. So you know that's
exactly,
what's making it worse.
Exactly. And this level of disrespect. See, like I said before, my grandma died at 109. She was an older lady, so I've always respected my elders. I watched T. West series. I don't know if you got a chance to watch it.
I've seen it.
His series was brilliant. I don't understand how anyone could just disrespect this man like that. If you go to his channel and look at the comments, that's so disrespectful, calling him outside of his name. And for these young people to ask him what is he wearing, they're not aware of a dashiki and a kufi. That shows me that they actually have forgotten where they came from for real, and that is a problem. You know, I don't understand why when you tell them that they should be proud of who they are, they think that everything is okay and we need to forget about where we came from. But we can't forget about where we came from because we're still there. It's just not as open. But when I go to YouTube and I see comments like nigger this and nigger that, it lets me know racism is still alive, you know. So this cooning, they're not addressing the real issues. They are not addressing the real issues at all. Coons, they're great at diverting the issues, deflecting the issues, and the ones that's following them are doomed because they're so blind they don't see it. It's a sad situation. It's scary, to be honest with you, because you think about it. This is our next generation. When me and you are old, when we're in our 60s and 70s, these are the future leaders. And when you look at it that way, it scares the living hell out of you.
Yeah, it does. It really does. And it's sad because they refuse to, you know, be conscious. That's why, I've got that shirt I made from my spreadshirt store. But I've been making a conscious effort to wear that Africa shirt more on my videos because just to put out there that, hey, that's kind of where we come from. So let me give you, because people only respond to visual images, that you can't talk to them anymore. You have to show them. That's why when I do videos, if people send me an article, it's rare if I do the video, but if I can find the video on that, I will, because people, they're so visual now. You have to show them. It's like they don't believe you unless you show them. So if
exactly.
you give me some sort of image, because see, back in the 90s, you know, we wore Africa shirts. We wore Africa, like, medallions.
Ooh,
we were proud of that.
Did you have the leather African medallion?
Yeah, yeah. You know, you wear your black T-shirt, your medallion, stuff like that. You know, stuff like I'm black and I'm proud. Yeah, the kente cloths. And, you know, sometimes you go to church, you have your African-style vest and, you know, underneath
the
seat.
Oh, my goodness. I used to love to see the ladies in the church with their African garb on. That was, you know, even now, when I see women dressed that way, it gives me a sense of pride in myself. Because for her to step outside of conformity and go back to her roots and wear this out in the public, that shows you that she's on a conscious level better than yours, different than yours. But
yeah,
when you have people slapping down their memory, it's disrespectful. You know, if you tell a Caucasian person to get over the fact that Elvis is dead, they might chop your head off. But this same person will tell you to forget slavery is over. Just forget about it, you know?
You know what I tell them every time? When they tell me that, I say, when you start telling the Jews to forget the Holocaust, I definitely start telling them to forget slavery. Until you tell them that's when I'm going to forget it. Because how you going to tell me to forget my pain or my ancestors, but you won't tell them to forget the pain of their ancestors? You dare not tell them that. Watch what's going to happen to you.
And,
the
funny thing about it, they just call it slavery. But to be honest, that was a black holocaust. We were separated from our families, not just from Africa. When women would have their children, they would snatch them out and give them away like they were puppies, you know. So that actually caused a rift in our mentality from the beginning. From the beginning, we had this mentality where we just didn't know what to do. We couldn't really trust anything anymore. So we really didn't put our whole heart into it, you know, because we thought we'd lose it. If you go and talk to the kids in the ghettos about why they lived the way they lived, why you carrying a gun? Shoot, I might die tomorrow. I'm going to protect myself. For them to have
they're going to die
tomorrow.
You know, Miss Twinkie, they don't realize, you know, like our history. Like the first time I did a video on black history, I did one on Black Wall Street. I wanted to try something new. And like all these younger people did not even know. They say, I didn't know about that. They're like, wow. And they're like, they were freaking out because I was overwhelmed with the response.
Black History Month is the most disrespectful thing ever.
I don't even want to hear about Black History Month. You know why? I'm not saying nothing disrespectful.
Black History Month, they don't teach us nothing.
Well, that's the thing. We need to stop. And my attitude is this. When I do black history videos, I said black history is American history, but it happened on this
Thank you.
Call.
Thank
that's
you.
Why,
I don't think we should have a book. I don't think we should not a book. I don't think we should have a month. I think our history should be in the books alongside of George Washington. You know, there's a lot of things we contributed to history. You know, and people
exactly,
do
but
not.
Exactly, but it takes us, Ms. Twinkie, to sit here and teach it, because like I said, when I seen the overwhelming response to my, you know, Black Wall Street video, my Deacons of Defense video I put out, stuff like that that's related to black history on my Bash Show TV channel, it amazed me to see how many of our people felt proud to even see that or hear that. You know what I'm saying? How many people actually shared it?
It goes, and that also kind of goes back to what I said about music, because do you remember how... Do you remember KRS-One? Do you know how much stuff I learned? I learned from KRS-One. You know, I learned from Public Enemy because in their raps, it was teaching me something. But nowadays, the only thing I can tell you about music is that 2 Chainz got 2 Chainz and the other guy, Future, woke up in a new Bugatti. I don't know anything
about it's all about Miley. You know, popping Molly's in the club.
They know more about Molly's.
Money.
They know more about Molly's than they know about anything.
It's sad.
They know more about Molly's than they know about anything, and it's just so disrespectful to just black history, period, to know that these kids are just, I don't want to say dumb, I say ignorant to their history. If they knew their history, they'd stand proud. You know,
this is where it takes, you know, us as people, as you know, trying to grow, is to put more responsibility on ourselves to put our history out there. Because how is it that, you know, a person like myself or you or whoever that's trying to grow on social media and don't take advantage of that audience and say, wait a minute, I got this much people listening, they're not just black, so I could teach even white people some of our history too that they didn't even know, because they hide the history from white folks too. They don't want them
to
know. They hide it because they don't want them to feel bad about the things that their ancestors did. Like, I had a lot of white people come to me and say, you know, I did not know that. That makes me feel bad that they did that just because they were black. I mean, so there's a lot of white people.
The Black Wall Street story, when I was told that by my grandma, now, that was the saddest story that I ever heard. It was a whole city of black people that were successful. And just because someone told a lie, they burned this whole city down and took everything from them. You know, people really don't understand exactly how much history they're missing out on, you know.
Exactly. You know, and really, like, that was just a go-ahead for them to go in. But the main reason why they wanted to go in there in the first place is because all those white men came home from the war and they didn't have no job. Basically, now they had no jobs. They was broke. They were suffering. They were struggling. And they look over at Black Wall Street in Little Africa, and you got black people living in mansions. They had their own businesses. They had their own airport. They had everything.
Mm-hmm.
The community worked for itself, and they couldn't stand it. So they were looking for a reason to go destroy those black people because, hey, they were following the law that, hey, we couldn't go shop with white folks. We couldn't deal with you. We over here in our area. And that's what they did. They're basically jealous of black people. You let black people have land, stay by themselves. It's like that today. They can't stand to see us have nothing. You know, we have something.
Exactly.
It's a problem.
Exactly.
You know, they want to infiltrate. They want to come around.
See, personally, I don't mind mingling with the white people or the Caucasian people or any other races. I don't mind mingling, but I want to know who I am so I know what I bring to the drawing board. It's not fair that Asians can come over here and still have their history. I'm not saying that I'm jealous and I'm not saying that it's not right. I'm saying it's not fair because I know that I came from a tribe in Africa, but I can't point out what tribe. But you have white people that can trace that their lineage from to the Vikings, you know, we were cut off so many ways that we can't really have much to even say that I'm going to hold this piece of history and say this is my pride. But not only that, they don't even want to know, especially like I said about the Black Wall Street thing. The people in Black Wall Street, they thrived during the Depression. Everybody else.
Yeah, but see, the thing is with us as Black people, you know, God has put in us to make something out of nothing, and that's what nobody can understand about Black people. We'll survive no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we'll figure out a way to survive. But
and
the thing
they
is,
they want to keep us separated.
Yeah, yeah, keep us separated. Want to make sure you find out what we're talking about. Keep the, you know, the coons in line so they can make sure they can report everything. But like I said, we're getting close to the end of the show, and I want to thank everybody for coming on the show, for everybody for calling in on the show. Miss Twinkie, I need to get with you also. I probably want to bring you back for a show so we can have a long talk. About
hit me up in my inbox and we will get that together.
All right. May everybody have a good night. Miss Gabrielle, you got something to say if we wrap this up?
Nothing other than show your support by visiting my fan page, which is on Facebook, and that's where I keep everyone updated on what's going on my website and YouTube and things like that, and that's where I also answer questions. So it is facebook.com/GabriellaXAffair. It's GabriellaXAffair.
All righty.
How about it?
All right, well, I want to thank everybody, and everybody keep in touch with me, and, you know, visit the website, AdviseShow.com. Check out my YouTube channel, The Advise Show TV. We have Ratchet Video Weekly, if you like that sort of thing. Advise Show Throwbacks, and, you know, make sure you subscribe to everything. Make sure you like me on Facebook, / The Advise Show, because no matter what I got going on, I'm going to post it there. Let me know what's going on. Need to talk to your brother for any reason. Let me know, and we'll try to arrange that. Anyway, thank everybody for joining the show tonight, and see you next time.